Today's reading is Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good evening. Let me add my welcome to Matt's. My name is John. Let's turn and pray as we look at God's word together. Father, thank you that you are never confused over what you say. Thank you that every word is always exactly in the right place. And tonight we ask that you would indeed speak. Would you let your voice be heard? And would you give us hearts to listen? In Jesus' name, amen. I take it that we all pray in some way or another. Or at least most of us do. It's been fascinating seeing some of the statistics that have come through about prayer during the pandemic. Data from Google said that, gathered data from over 95 countries, said there'd been a 50% surge in online searches for prayer through the pandemic. In many ways, Germany and Leipzig only exists in the way that it does today because of a prayer movement. The Friedensgebet had a prominent role in bringing people together, in crying out, in asking the Lord to act. On a personal level, as I am getting to know people here in Leipzig, not just at LEC, but in Leipzig, when I say that I'm the pastor of Leipzig English Church, it's pretty amazing and really interesting to hear how many people say, I'm not really religious, but I do pray. Sometimes. Muslims pray at particular times of the day and a particular posture. People go on pilgrimages to pray. It's almost as if we are wired to pray. Tonight, that is what we're thinking about. We're thinking about prayer. And it's not so much a question of whether we should pray, but how. Jesus assumes that we will pray, that his hearers will pray, and that it's not just the religious. So verse 5, he says, when you pray, he assumes the religious amongst them are going to pray, but also verse 7, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. Even pagans pray. Jesus says the key to Christian prayer is that it flows from a relationship. Let there be light. He says Christians pray because you already have a relationship. You have a relationship with God. You don't pray to get one, you pray because you have one. a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Do you notice that as Debbie read it for us? How many times Jesus calls God Father. Verse 6, pray to your Father. He says, when you go into your room, pray to your Father. End of verse 6, your Father who sees. Verse 8, your Father knows. Pray like this, verse 9, our Father. Verse 14, your Heavenly Father. Verse 15, your Father. Now, over and over and over, this is a prayer because of a relationship. Christians have the unique privilege of calling the God of the universe Father because we've been washed clean by the death of his Son. By his resurrection, we're given a new standing before God. We are justified in his sight. We're adopted as his children. And so we cry out to him as Father. We're diving into this sermon, part of the Sermon on the Mount, one of the most famous monologues ever given, a sermon all about life in Jesus' kingdom. And it's a life of dependence, because citizens in his kingdom, in God's kingdom, are those who know that they need Jesus. And so it opens with those words, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek. And for those who are spiritually hungry and thirsty, those who know they need Jesus are those who are citizens of his kingdom. It's those who say, I need Jesus to die in my place because I can't save myself. Being a Christian is about needing Jesus. And right at the heart of his sermon about what life is like in his kingdom are these words from our reading today. We're going to take a step back and look at the attitude that lies behind the prayer. And then we're going to take a quick look at the prayer itself. Now, we pray because of a relationship with our Father. First of all, we pray. Your Father sees you, and so shut the door, says Jesus. Matthew 6, verse 5, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they can be seen by others. Prayer isn't an optional extra. It's an extraordinary privilege. Jesus says when we pray, we're not trying to garner favor with God. That's what the hypocrites do. They're not praying out of need. They're praying out of a place of pride. They pray to show off. They think they are strong. They pray in the public places where they can be seen and heard by others. They get up at the front of church. They are on YouTube. They make sure that they are the first ones at the prayer meeting so others can see them. It's not that doing those things are wrong in and of themselves. It's not that standing to pray is better than kneeling or praying with your face on the floor or sitting as we normally do at LEC. All those postures are in the Bible. That's not to do with the way they pray. It's to do with their hearts. Now, the problem is who they think is watching. They do it, end of verse 5, so that they may be seen by others. So that others would think, wow, what a great godly guy or girl they are. They've got it all together. They really know what they're talking about. They think they are strong. It's really enticing. We do it all the time. I want you to think that I'm a good Christian. I want your affirmation. I want your praise. If that is why you pray, it is never going to satisfy you. It is just a sham. It is a show and a pointless PR exercise. Because, says Jesus, what reward can they give anyway? Truly I say to you, they have received their reward in full. It's helpful to ask yourself, why do I pray? And answer it honestly. Jesus is, just to be clear, Jesus is not saying that we should never pray publicly. We should. In a few moments, he says you are to pray like this: Our Father. It is a communal prayer. Pray together in the plural. But Jesus is saying, when you pray, shut the door. Don't pray to be seen by other people. Pray to be heard by your Father in heaven. Pray because you have a relationship with him. Now, we pray to God as our Father. I know that that can raise all sorts of different emotions for us. Some of us have had great dads, some haven't. Some have known dads, others never really gotten to meet them. Whatever your father was like or is like, look at what the sort of father that Jesus says God is. Now, some of those things that we see here, he is the father who sees. He sees what is done in secret. He's not an absent father. He was there. He made every game that you played in. He was at every parent's evening, right there with you in the hospital room. He's not like me. When he's there, he's not on his phone. He sees. He loves. He rewards. He knows. He gives. He's a good father. And so that means you don't need to try and convince him to try and be kind to you. He cares. He is on your side. He is for you. Jesus says, when you pray, pray to your Father. Shut the door. He talks about those who use lots of words. Verse 7, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, because they think they're going to be heard by their many words. I studied ancient history for my first degree. It was great. I really enjoyed it. I loved Asterix and Obelix growing up and thought I'd love to study them. I quickly learned when I was writing my essays that the sources that I cited didn't really matter. The strength of my argument could be sort of taken or leaving. What mattered was the amount of words that I used. The more I wrote, the higher mark I got. Whether that was in an exam or in an essay, the more the better. Set me down in front of a computer and I can waffle for England. When I wrote my essays, I knew that I would be heard because of my many words. Jesus says, not so with prayer. God is your Father, who knows you, who sees. You can shut the door, be in a room with him. You don't need to try and twist his arm to listen to you. The thinking here is about thinking you can manipulate God by using the words you say, that God will only listen to your prayer because you pray in a particular way or because you use a particular form of words. So easy to fall into that trap. And again, it's because it focuses on the wrong person. Whereas before it was impressing other people, now it's trying to impress myself. God doesn't listen to prayer because they take a particular form. You don't need to say the magic word to God to make him listen to you. You don't need to be in a church building for him to hear you. When you pray, says Jesus, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father. Prayer is the overflow of a relationship with your Heavenly Father. And what does he do? Well, he sees, he rewards, he knows what is done in secret. He knows all those prayers that a mother or a father prays in the quiet for a wayward teenager. He knows every minute, every hour that the older saint puts into prayer quietly in their room because they didn't have the energy to do anything else. He knows and he remembers every time your alarm has gone off in the morning to wake you up, when the house is still quiet and you've taken yourself off to go and pray. He always listens. It sounds weak. We don't think it counts. But your Father hears and sees and cares. Your Father sees, so shut the door. Focus on him. So that, if that's the attitude behind prayer, if that's what we are doing, what is it that we are to pray? We're going to spend the next few minutes running through the Lord's Prayer. Famous words, maybe some of us grew up saying them over and over and over. Worth saying that this is a model for prayer rather than a form of prayer that is to be prayed daily. Now we've just seen, Jesus has just said, prayer is an overflow of a relationship with your Father, rather than needing to say a particular type of prayer or the words to try and make God listen to you. There are six requests in the Lord's Prayer. The first three are all about you. You in heaven. The second three are all about us. Give us, forgive us, lead us. They cover three things: God's glory, our needs, our sin. First of all, he prays you. First of all, he says, our Father in heaven, doesn't he? God is the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth that we have the privilege of calling Father. I didn't have a PowerPoint made up today, but I did have a picture of JFK with his son John Jr. under his desk. It's quite a famous one. You might have seen it before. So JFK was the president of the United States a couple of years ago. One of the most powerful men in the world. People would tremble before him in his office in the White House. But there's a picture of his son, John Jr., just playing under the desk at his feet. God is far more powerful than the most powerful man in the world. But just as John Jr. could call JFK his dad, we can and we should delight in crying to our Father in heaven. Easy to gloss over it. This is a scandalous thing that we can call him Father. We can call the eternal King of Heaven our Father. We can approach him over breakfast, as you are walking to work, as you're in the bar or at the restaurant, as you're chatting with friends, as you're lying in bed. You can call the God of Heaven, Lord of Heaven and Earth, your Father. Imagine you are granted an audience with JFK, probably a bit difficult now, Joe Biden. No? Okay, someone else. The most powerful person you can think of. You get to grill them. Why is it like this? Do you get to talk to someone like that? Wouldn't you tell everyone, wouldn't you? This is amazing. Guess who I met today? When you pray in your bed at night, when you're on your knees in the morning, you approach the high King of Heaven. There is no one greater, no one more powerful, no other higher privilege than being able to call him your Father. And when we realize that it is our Heavenly Father that we pray to, my shopping list of various requests that I might have, they've got to go, haven't they? This is the Lord of heaven and earth, before whom angels bow their faces, before whom no one can stand. And we pray, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Not my name, but yours. Not my kingdom, but yours. Not my will, but yours. Hallowed be your name, your name be set apart, your name be revered, your name be holy. We sung, behold our God, seated on his throne. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Hallowed be your name. Would you be my delight? Would you be my goal, my aim, the thing I set my sights on? Lord, there is no one like you. There is no one greater than you. It is a prayer that the universe would recognize its creator. There is no one deserving of greater honor than the Lord of heaven and earth, who we get to call Father. There are many ways we've lost our sense of honor in Western society. It does still rear its head every now and then. In Germany, we love a title. If you've got a degree or a doctorate, you'll be Herr Doctor. At school in England, we used to stand up whenever the head teacher would walk into the room as a sign of respect. Kim Jong-un travelled to Russia this week to great fanfare. Honour and prestige, it all belongs to our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. I think it's worth asking ourselves how much of our prayers are about me and my life, and how much is about him and his honour and his glory. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We pray that his will would prevail, not because there is a chance that it won't. God is sovereign. We're not superstitious. He rules over all, and he gives us the privilege of interceding for our world. Your kingdom come is a prayer for people to become Christians and recognize Jesus Christ as Lord of all. But ultimately, your kingdom come is a prayer for the end of the world. Would you hasten the day that Jesus returns in all his glory and all his splendor, when every knee bows before him and every tongue confesses Jesus Christ as Lord, when the whole earth is brought under his sway. Your will be done. How often do we pray for his glory, for his will, for his kingdom to come? That the Lord Jesus would return in all his glory. How often does this shape your prayers for LEC? How often does it shape the way that you pray for your family or your colleagues, your work, or that doctor's appointment that you have? We ask him to have his way and not my way. And the more we pray this sort of prayer, the more we will be seeking rewards in heaven. The more we will be inclined to go into our room, to shut the door, and pray to our Father in heaven. We need to move on. The next three requests are about us. We bring our requests to God. It's about our needs. There is nothing too small or insignificant that God doesn't know or God doesn't care about. He knows what we need before we ask. Verse 8. But he always does what is right. He always does what is best for you and me. Give us our daily bread is a prayer of dependence. Quite hard for some of us to get our heads around this. We are used to stockpiling food. We don't live hand to mouth. We have the privilege of having tins in our cupboards that won't go off until 2025. But this is about asking what we really need, not our greed. Just across the page, in verses 25 to 34, it's talking about food, drink, clothes, things you need. It's praying for what should really matter to us. Give us our daily bread. But the final two requests are about sin. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I wonder if you've ever noticed that nearly half of the Lord's Prayer is about sin. Verses 12 and 13, 25 words out of, is it 25? Maybe 23 words out of 50 or so. Jesus knows that those in his kingdom are sinners who need help. Our Father knows us better than we know ourselves. He sees, he knows that we need help. If you struggle with temptation and need forgiveness, then this family is for you. He sees it all. We don't manage to hide any of the thoughts we have from his gaze. He sees it all, but he forgives. He forgives our debts. I graduated with a significant student debt. The joys of 3 years doing nothing. We have piled up a mountain of debt that we could never repay before our Father in heaven, that he freely forgives because of Jesus. Because Jesus took the punishment at the cross of Calvary. He forgives the poor in spirit. He forgives those who mourn. He forgives those who pray, forgive us our debts. Forgive me, for I have sinned. We say to our children, when we say sorry, God forgives us. Our Father forgives. Citizens of this kingdom, Christians, children who cry to their Father are those who know they have been freely forgiven and set free from that burden. It's a prayer that we would not be led into temptation, but that we would stand firm, that we would have eyes to the wisdom to say no, the strength to stand firm with courage. That we would flee evil. That he would help us in that. And as we know, just or as we begin to grasp the extent of the forgiveness that has been given to us, as we pray verse 12, we learn to forgive others too. It's not that it's done lightly. I know some have been heinously sinned against. Some have an awful lot to forgive. But as we learn just how much we have been forgiven, we learn we too can forgive others. We don't say it doesn't matter. We don't say that real evil hasn't been committed, or that people haven't been left hurt or damaged with scars that will last their whole lives. But we say, no matter how much I might have wronged you, I have wronged God more. and he has forgiven me. King David wrote Psalm 51, famous psalm many of us will know, a psalm of confession, a psalm saying sorry to God. He wrote that after he had an affair, got this woman pregnant, and then killed her husband. And in his sorrow, he says, "Against you, you only have I sinned." What our Father sees really matters. Sin is always first and foremost against God, and in his boundless, unfathomable, bottomless ocean of grace, he has forgiven me, then I need to learn to extend a modicum of that sort of grace to others. It's not an easy prayer to pray, but when we learn to do that, we learn to forgive others. We learn to be changed ourselves. And if we refuse to do that, Jesus has some dangerous warning for us. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's not saying that we're saved by the things that we do. It is by grace and grace alone. Forgiveness is free and full. But if we haven't understood just how much we have been forgiven, if we won't forgive others, then we haven't understood just how much we have been forgiven. That is the warning Jesus says. So when you pray, pray to your Father. Pray and shut the door. Don't worry about what others say, what others think. Don't worry about what you think. Worry about what he thinks. And cry to him as your Father, that his name would be hallowed, that his kingdom would come, his will would be done, and that he would give us what we need. Our daily bread and wonderful forgiveness. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank you that we can approach you as our Father. We thank you that you are a good Father who knows what we need, who sees what we need. A mighty Father who is able to act. Father, we thank you that there is no one like you. Yours is the glory and the crown, the high renown. So, Lord, we ask that you'd help us to honour you, to revere you, to set you apart as our Lord. And we ask that you'd help us to pray, to be children who delight to cry to you, to enjoy that relationship with you, and to pray your kingdom come. Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.